Amen. We need Him, and we need Him to be changing us. Amen? Amen. Who here is a liar and likes change? Raise your hand. Nobody likes change. That's right. Well, before we talk about change today, I want to, if you're a guest today, and we had a guest speaker a couple of weeks ago, I want to remind us, we're taking a couple of weeks to talk about some common themes and things that should be true in every one of our lives if we are, and if you are a Christian, a believer in, a follower of Jesus. We talked a couple of weeks ago about how we should be fishers of men. We should be, and you should be, casting your nets to reach people for Jesus Christ in any way possible. And that fishing takes patience. Fishing, you don't catch something most cast. Fishing is messy. You have to bait the hook. There's all kinds of things we have to do. And last week we talked about following Jesus. That we are called, and if you're a Christian, you've initially said, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. But then you were saved, you gave your heart and life to Jesus, then you were baptized. But it is an everyday thing. We must continually choose to follow Jesus. And when that happens, here's what will happen, which is what we're going to talk about today. Our lives will change. Amen. Our lives will change when we're following Jesus. A sign that you're following Jesus is that your life has changed. Your life shouldn't look like what it did before you were a Christian. And your life now that you are, and we all have ups and downs in different seasons, should continually being changed to be more like Jesus' life. Now, if you're here today, you're a mature believer, you've been a Christian a long time, you should still be changing. The people I know that have been walking with the Lord their whole life, the older they get, and I know life's not easier as you get older, more stuff hurts, doesn't work, we can make all kinds of bad jokes here, but their hearts, their spirits, their love, the way that they pray, the way that they feel, the way that they think about life and heaven and perspective on life, death, eternity is different. We should be changing, guys. But we fear change, don't we? You know who else feared change? Garth.
Let me run this by you because you're a sharp guy. I'm thinking about giving Vanderhoff a weekly interview on the show. How would you feel about making a change?
We fear change.
I just always wanted to use a clip from Wayne's World in the sermon. So, we fear change. That's right, we do, don't we? Mark Twain, and this is not verbatim, but it's just like this. You can look it up. Mark Twain said, the only one who likes change is a baby with a dirty diaper. It's just our human nature. It's just our human nature. Let's think of some good examples of change. You guys remember, I think I was like in middle school, remember New Coke? You guys remember New Coke? That lasted what? Not very long. Remember Crystal Pepsi? No? Nah. Stuff was just horrible. Somebody likes Crystal. We have a... There was one person that was not a big enough market for Pepsi, yes. What if I come today and say, guys, we're not going to have Sunday school anymore as a church. Now, I remember the former pastor who was here, and he was wonderful, but at one time there was talk of doing away with Sunday school, and I heard there was almost like a revolt. That's what people have told me. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that says there has to be Sunday school. You can't, there's no, Colossians doesn't say thou must have Sunday school. But it's something we do, right? And so there'd be like, oh, no Sunday school. You know, next week is Pastor Bill's last Sunday. And so what if I said, hey, it's my last Sunday too. Now, a few of you might cheer, but it would be a change, wouldn't it? Big change, new pastor. We don't want to think about change. What about computers? I'm gonna talk about two people today, and they both love me. They will soon hate me. In the office, I won't mention who, but somebody's computer died this week. I won't say who, Cinnamon. And I said, well, good. Now's a good chance. We'll just go ahead and get you like a Mac. You can get away from using that old Dell, and we'll get you. And she, yes, my life and her job, she was out of here. No way I'm changing because, and I get that, but it's just, we don't like change. Okay, I get it. What about, remember Y2K? Everybody old enough to remember that? I was in the banking business at the time, and I lived like an hour away from my office, and I had nothing to do with any of the computer stuff. I was in charge of our commercial like credit and lending and all that. I'm like, it was a Friday night, Y2K was a Saturday, we all had to come in. Like the CEO said, everybody, every employee, bank holding, all come in. I'm like, what? Because it was the change, it was going to 2000, and the world was going to end. Nothing really happened, did it? But we just kind of, you know, change, we hate change. When Van Halen went to Van Hagar, I was like in high school, middle school, I was like, no. I forget how old I was. That's bad change. Some of you did it. We remember Peyton Manning left the Colts and went to the Broncos. Ooh, that was awful. We just inherently resist change. My favorite place to eat had a change. And so I forget which day of the week I was. I went there for breakfast, went to pay, pulled my credit card out, and my friend there who was waiting on me, the five words were spoken, I hate this stupid thing. And then, you know, because it was a new credit card machine. True story. That was breakfast. I went back for lunch, pulled out my credit card, I hate this stupid thing. We hate change. We don't like change. Change is annoying. We inherently resist it. But that's our human nature. There's one area where this has to be different. Being a disciple and a follower of Jesus, being a Christian, means we'll change. And that change never stops, does it? Never while we're on this planet Earth does following Jesus mean that the change is over, we're completely sanctified, we're there, we're good, we're set. We will continue to change. Speaking of change, something changed with the original disciples, didn't it? Something that happened in human history is more important and should be to your life than anything else that's ever happened in history or ever will, and that's that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was crucified, killed, was raised from the dead. Amen. He was resurrected from dead to alive. And there were three real irrefutable proofs to that. Number one, the vacated tomb and the missing body. That tomb was empty and his body was gone. And skeptics for 2,000 years, especially every Easter, are trying to prove that that wasn't the case, and they can't and they won't because it was. Number two, all of the eyewitness accounts. The 11 disciples, all of these holy women in 1 Corinthians, I think 15:6, over 500 people, they saw Jesus resurrected. But I'll tell you, the last one is the most irrefutable proof of all time, and it's to change lives. If Jesus hadn't rose from the dead, I wouldn't be here today. Certainly wouldn't be standing up here in front of you guys. And I'm hoping you wouldn't be in church if it wasn't for the fact that something happened. He was raised from the dead, and you realized that. You repented of your sins. You gave your life to Him, and He changed your life and is still changing your life. Amen. Think about the original disciples. They were scared. They were scattered. They were hiding. They were afraid. They were holed up because Jesus had been crucified. They thought they were next. But once they experienced and they met Him resurrected back from the dead in His body, He was dead, He was done, He was gone, and now here He is, He's alive, just as He said, their whole lives changed. The whole world changed. 2,000 years later, the world has changed. Is the fact that you've had an experience with the risen Son of God changing your life? See, the Lordship of Jesus changes lives. See, many people today in today's world who are choosing to sleep in this morning, or they had a rough night, or they don't choose to be here, or maybe they're just taking in the 8 hours of football pregame, whatever it is, they will tell you they believe in God. They'll tell you they believe in Jesus, that they're Christians. But see, when we experience Jesus, it changes our lives. And when Sunday morning comes, I want to be in church. I want to worship. I want to give. I want to be around God's people. I want to hear His message. The point is, you can believe that He exists, but if you're sitting here today and you haven't experienced Him as your Lord and surrendered your life and let Him reveal to you that He's the risen Son of God and Him give you His Holy Spirit, you haven't experienced change. The kind of change, amen, that you have to have. And we're going to talk about that today, that His Lordship changes your life. Think about the disciples. Think about Peter. He was already a disciple walking with Jesus. He believed who He was. He'd seen the miracles. He saw the transfiguration. But he hadn't yet experienced the risen Savior. Peter was impulsive and combative and disloyal, but Jesus changed him and he became teachable and loyal and a rock. Think about James. He was openly skeptical, but he then, after he experienced the resurrected Jesus, became a courageous leader of the Jerusalem church. Think about John, the son of thunder, as in John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John, you know, Revelation, John. He was vindictive. He was temperamental. He was racially prejudiced. He was power hungry. But Jesus transformed him into a disciple who was known above all else for His love. And those are the kind of changes that should be going on in our lives. We think, of course, of Saul, who was aggressive, who murdered, persecuted Christians. He was heartless, but then he encountered Jesus, and Jesus changes everything. And as we talked about last week with the initial and the perpetual following of Jesus, Jesus changes everything. That's right, I've been a Christian for this long. Jesus changes everything when you're following Him and when you're letting Him change you today. See, Jesus changed me about 8 years ago, but I've had many days since then I didn't let him change me that day. I live for me. It's something we choose this day who we will serve, and we work out our salvation with fear and trembling because he loves you so much. Let him change you if you haven't, and maybe you've gotten away from that. Following Jesus, the fact that you're going to heaven means that you're letting him change you. These people surrendered to Jesus' lordship and he changed their lives. As you are a Christian, you should become more serving, more giving, more patient, more humble, more forgiving. Here's a great test of where you are today in your faith. How you forgive. Now listen to this. I'm not talking about people that don't know the Lord, and we're not perfect either. We're no better, but people that just, they're not Christians, they have no desire, and people that are living in the flesh, they shouldn't treat you well. The real test of where you are in your faith is how you forgive other Christians who should know better. They shouldn't have done that to you, treated you that way, said that. And you don't forgive them if they ask or deserve it. You forgive them out of a heart that is surrendered, that is broken, that is Christ-like. Jesus went to the cross for the people that put him on the cross. He went to the cross for you and I, for all the sins of all mankind, of all history. And as he was hanging on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. They have no idea what they're doing. They didn't ask him to forgive them. He just did. I hope you hear that and think, just, man, I want my heart to be that. I want to love and forgive people that way. That's being a follower of Jesus. That's being changed by Jesus. It's through His Spirit at work in you and I is what it is. And let me tell you guys, you will thrive under the lordship of letting Jesus change your life. If you don't feel like your life is thriving today, let Him be the Lord of your life. Don't just say, I believe in Jesus. Say, guess what? I'm going to every day surrender my heart and life to Him. I'm going to read this book, the Bible, and I'm going to do the best that I can to live by it. And see how that changes your life. Don't try it for a week. Try it for your life. Let me tell you something. This Bible tells me how to live in a good way. How to make good decisions. How to be a good husband and father. How to handle my money appropriately. How to handle relationships appropriately. How to have wisdom. How to have peace and joy. It's all in here. And being a follower of Jesus means reading and living by His Word. Amen? Three people agree. Sweet. All right. Three amens. There's so much scripture about being changed by Jesus. Let's just read a few. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is God's perfect will. The Greek, one of those words, it says metamorpho, which is a metamorphosis, which is a change. With Pastor Bill leaving, I have to use Greek words now because he was the guy that used those. Here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about a caterpillar. It's a worm, right? Caterpillars are gross. This time of the year, they're always crossing the road. I hit them on purpose. I just do. Especially if they're brown, early winter, whatever. I don't really run over caterpillars. You already had a picnic. You get a caterpillar on you. What do? It's gross. You're like, oh, sick. It's a worm. What do caterpillars change into? Paying attention to 8th grade science. Good job. They turn into butterflies, which are pretty. Oh, a butterfly. If it lands on you, you're like, oh, don't fly away. It's so cute. Right? That's the kind of change that should be going on in the lives of you and I if we're Christians. All the stuff, all of our human nature, our attitudes and our emotions and our temper and the people that have done us wrong and our sinful natures, all those things should be going away and being transformed into something beautiful. That should be going on in your life if you're following Jesus. You should be being transformed. Because when you initially, 2 Corinthians 5:17, give your life to Christ, you're brand new. You've put on His righteousness. All things have become new. Now, it doesn't mean that you're perfect yet, but it means that you have a new nature. You're starting that journey. Ephesians 4. You are to put off the old man. If your life looks like what it did before you were a Christian, something is gravely wrong. Right? Something's wrong. Put off all that stuff. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You were made in God's image. You've sinned. You've fallen. The only way to get back to what you were made to be is through Jesus Christ. You have to put on, the Bible says to clothe ourselves in righteousness. We're to be clothed with Christ. Right? It's like when you get up in the morning and put clothes on, okay? Normally my wife picks them out. I'm a guy. I wear a t-shirt every day. You know, she helps me. She irons my shirts. I have to choose what to wear every day. Guys, spiritually speaking and in your life, you have to choose every day what your life's going to be about. It's not a one-time thing. If you're following Jesus, you'll be being changed. Every day you need to pray, be in His Word, say, Lord, use me, guide me, lead me. It's an everyday choice to be clothed and to put on that new man. Next slide. We've been buried with Him through baptism into death. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, we should walk in newness of life. This change should be going on in our lives. Colossians 1:13. You've been delivered from the power of darkness and you've been conveyed into God's kingdom, the kingdom of His Son, of His love. The old stuff in your life should be being put away for the new stuff. And our two theme verses for this morning, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. May the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. And that's a church and Bible word. If you don't know sanctify, it means to change you, to cleanse you, to make you new, to make you right. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. He who calls you is faithful and will do it. Now catch that. You can't do it. I can't do it. Just sitting in church can't do it. Just saying I want to live a better life can't do it. You have to give your heart and life to Jesus and He'll change you. He will. Let's talk about that for a moment and how I think a lot of us miss that as Christians. Annually, every year, the movie industry puts on a humongous event, the Academy Awards. All of Hollywood comes out, right? Some of you probably DVR it. You can't miss the Academy Awards. See who won Best Picture, see who won Best Actor. Designer dresses come out, limousines come out, millions and millions and millions are spent, the red carpet is rolled out, all for people pretending to be someone they're not. For people acting. I like movies, nothing wrong with that. But that's what it is. I think it's ridiculous for so much fuss to be made for people pretending and playing make-believe. Can I just watch the movie? I don't care what the best movie is. Occasionally I like to watch a movie. But that's what happens. And guys, I wonder sometimes as Christians if we get caught up in the same thing. If we get caught up in playing Christian instead of in being in love with Jesus. See, I think it starts from our childhood. I think from a very young age, here's what happens. I think that we're told to behave a certain way. And as a child, what happens is, I'm motivated to behave a certain way by an adult, usually a parent, mom, dad, with an allowance in one hand and a belt in the other. And if I behave the right way, I'll get the allowance and not the belt. And that's good. So I have to behave a certain way. We're either rewarded or punished based on our behavior, our ability to perform. Think about as we then get a little older and go to school, there's report cards, right? Now back in the old days, if there's any kids in here or younger people, they used to actually give us report cards to take home. That was pretty silly because I can make a C look like a B really well with a marker. So I never did that in case you're listening online, mom, dad. But we used to get report cards to take home. And it was like, you ever have a bad one? You're like, oh no. Or you have a good one, you knew you were going to get a couple bucks, whatever it is. It's reward or punishment based on behavior. Then we might go, and if you get really great report cards, you might be valedictorian, salutatorian, you get to give a speech. Then you go into the working world. There's raises, there's bonuses, there's performance reviews. Everything is performance based. So we end up performing oftentimes not out of passion, but maybe for a reward. I think that can go on in the Christian life. What we call the Christian life. Some pretending might even occur. Sometimes we can reduce our relationship with the God of all creation, with His Son and our Messiah, Jesus Christ, and our fellowship with church to a performance based on a religious code of conduct. You've got to look like you have your act together. You need to avoid the big sins. Make sure you come to church and how you doing? Use words like brother, sister, and thankful and sanctified. These are all good things. Don't get me wrong. But guys, you got to be in love with and following Jesus. Period. Exclamation point. Let me ask you this. Does your life look like the other 7 days of the week like it does on Sunday morning? How you talk and how you think? Behind your closed doors at your home, when you've got the computer or TV to yourself, when you're on Facebook or on the phone, when you're texting, when you're at work, when you're out with people from work. I don't know, whatever it is in your life. Are you thinking, I want to please God with how I look and how I think and what I say and how I feel? Or is that reserved for coming in here on Sunday morning? Because, guys, he doesn't want us to pretend. He wants us to follow and be in love with him. True discipleship is not about being. It's about becoming. It's not about this, and you can't do this, and you must do that. It's about trying to become more like Jesus. That's your call if you're a Christian. Be more like Jesus. 1 John 2:6, God tells us, if you say you live in God, if I'm a Christian, we should be living our lives as Jesus did. Now that is an impossible standard. But that doesn't mean that we don't try. It doesn't mean, and when we surrender our hearts, wills, and lives to Jesus and to the authority of His Word, He, by the power of His Holy Spirit, makes a pretty good effort in us. Amen? He does. John the Baptist said it very well. He must increase, but I must decrease. That should be our heart. Lord, less of me in my life, more of you. That should be your heart and is your heart if you're a Christian. That's it. That's discipleship at its core. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, we are no longer to live, but we understand that our lives are now about Jesus. He loved and gave Himself for you. You can't save your life except to lose it, and He now lives in you. He should be the focal point of your life. The name you've been given, that shouldn't be your identity, family lineage, your job, your nationality, the political party you care about, this election, your possessions, even your flaws, even the bad things. None of that stuff should identify you if you're a Christian. Your identity is Jesus. He's it. He's our identity. What you have to do is strip everything away and come to this one irrefutable truth that you were made in God's image, but you've sinned and sin and fall short, and the only way to be put back and be made right, which will lead you to have a satisfying life, is to give your life to Jesus and let Him begin the process of transforming you back to look like Him. Because before sin came, that's what we were created for. Romans 8:29 says, He predestined you and I to be conformed to the image of His Son. Our lives, if we're Christians, aren't even ours anyway. So shouldn't we be living them wholeheartedly for Him? Shouldn't we be changing to be more like Him if we're following Him? Those two things are inseparable. It goes back to our core verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He's faithful and He will do it. But He can't if you won't let Him. The times in my life where I felt far from God, I've fallen into sin or bitterness or unforgiveness, my priorities have gotten off track, it's never been the Lord's fault. It's because I take my eyes off of Him and life gets in the way and I get in the way or sin or stuff gets in the way. But guys, a life of discipleship will result in transformation of your emotions, of the way you think, of your mind, of your home, of your heart, of your marriage, of your relationships, and ultimately, of your body when He returns. Amen. So what about the things we usually associate with being a disciple? I want to talk about these before we close today. These are all great things. Being in church, biblical, needs to be the case. Reading the Bible, has to happen. Praying, serving, giving, things that a disciple does. But they're empty if they're just being done to please God or just to look like a Christian or to play the part or to feel good about ourselves. That's pretending. We should be loving others and forgiving others and serving others and reading God's Word and being part of His church and giving and serving because we love Him and we want to please Him. That's it. I mean, you can't earn it. We've been here 5 years now, and through those 5 years, and I don't know why this is, I have heard about 8,000 wrong things about our church. This week I heard that we believe that you have to earn your salvation. And the person, they were a great person. I heard that. Is that true? I'm like, no. That's not biblical, and we don't teach it. Anybody ever heard that taught here? No. But I'll tell you what we do believe, and what is true, is that, guys, you are saved by grace through faith. It is a God's gift of love to all of humanity. But I'll tell you what, when you're following Jesus and when you've given your heart and life to Him, there's going to be fruit. There's going to be good works. There's going to be forgiveness. There's going to be mercy given to people. There's going to be all kinds of things that come when we're following Jesus. So why do we do these good things? It's because we love Him. It's because we can't change ourselves. He is faithful. He will do it. If you're following Him, are you? There's really only one magic. If we had to say there's a magic pill of what it means to follow Jesus and to live an abundant, rich, full life, I would say the one magic pill would be to read and follow what the Bible says. If you think you can know the Lord and not know and be in His Word and be living by it, or you think you have the liberty to disagree with it, you're just wrong. This Word, let me tell you something. I can look at every bad decision I've ever made in my life and not one of them lines up with God's Word. Oh, that I would just follow Him more faithfully. And that you and I would just follow Him more faithfully. That is what He wants from you sitting in church today, is for you to say, yes, Lord, I will follow You more faithfully. I will let You change my life. But we fear change. And change isn't easy. But I'm going to tell you what, He's worth it. We're going to close in just 1 second. I want to encourage you this morning as we sing and pray and respond, not to fear change. What I want you to fear is not changing. Benjamin Franklin had a great quote. He said, when you're finished changing, you're finished. But I want to take that even a step further and say this. When you're finished letting God change you, you're finished. There's not a one of us here today who doesn't need to have some change made in our life by Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never put your faith in Him. Maybe you need to ask Him to be the Lord of your life, to forgive you of your sins. Maybe you're going through something you need some serious prayer for. He wants to change that situation. But the most important thing He wants to do is change your soul and change your heart, because He understands that there is an eternity ahead for all of us. He stands at the door and knocks in the heart of every life that's in here today wanting to make some change. Would you guys stand with me and let's pray. Father God, we love You. And we praise You and pray in Jesus' name. And I pray for all of us here today, as we have a chance to come and pray, that we would realize, Lord, that coming to this altar and praying about giving You our life or forgiving us of a sin or praying for someone or making a change in our life, Lord, that is such a pale act of humility compared to You, Lord, when You, the very Son of God, went to that cross willingly. You could have called every angel to come and save you and stop it, but You humbled Yourself to that death. And some of us here today need to humble ourselves and ask for some forgiveness, ask for some change, ask for some prayer. Would You work on our hearts to come and pray as we sing in Jesus' name? Amen.